Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee for the Lord's Day evening. We thank thee this Lord's Day evening. We're found in thy house. We're found with thy people. We have assembled in that name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee in that name there's all power. We think, Lord, of that great announcement at the birth of our Savior to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We thank thee, Lord, that he is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And we thank thee, Lord, tonight he's the one that blesses us. He's the one that pardons all our sins. He's the one that we have his continual abiding presence, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And now, Lord, we look to thee that in a very particular way. Thou wilt come right alongside us and bless us tonight. We pray for old time power. We pray, Lord, tonight the message will go forth with great plainness. But oh, we pray all the while, it'll touch the heart. And we pray that the Savior will be uplifted and glorified. We just ask thee now for the blessing of the Lord. We pray in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. We invite you to take your Bible and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, the portion we were reading just a moment ago. And we want to look together at verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Of course, you know this is one of the seven cries of the cross. We've been with you on another occasion when we give you a summary of those great cries. This is the last cry from the lips of the Savior as he died in your place and as he died in mine. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning when they brought the Lord Jesus through the streets of Jerusalem. They brought him to a particular place, a place that had been reserved, a place that was marked in history. The Lord Jesus was brought to Calvary, and the scripture tells us there they crucified him. They stretched the hands of the Savior, and they spiked his hands to the old Roman gibbet. They crossed his feet, and they spiked his feet. Those soldiers lifted up the cross and dropped it into the socket, prepared in the rock for it, tearing every fiber of his being. And as they did so, the Savior's lips began to move. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's evil and wicked men doing their very worst to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is praying for them. He was numbered with the transgressors and made intercession for them. There's the great cry of intercession. The Lord Jesus commenced his work on the cross with prayer. He concluded his work on the cross with prayer. And just in a moment, we're going to look at the final cry from the cross, which is a prayer from the lips of the lovely Savior, where he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The second cry, of course, was the great cry of salvation. When the dying thief repented and asked the Lord Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That criminal looked away from his companion, turned away from his crime, turned away from the crowd, and looked to the Savior. And he got gloriously and wonderfully converted just moments from death. Just before he went down into the cold, chilly waters of death, he was gloriously and wonderfully saved. What a trophy of grace as the Savior hung on the cross. And then there was that cry of consideration, the third cry, where the Lord Jesus said to Mary, and you'll notice he didn't call her mother. He said to Mary, woman, behold thy son. And John, the beloved disciple, stepped forward and took that woman to his own home and took care of her. The Lord Jesus was considering Mary when he was dying for you and for me. And he told her what was going to happen to her, how she'd be shepherded, how she'd be cared for. And she was led away from the place of suffering. And then there was that great cry of desolation when the Lord Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord Jesus was forsaken by his Father in order that you, in order that I, would never ever be forsaken. That word forsaken means to abandon, to left. We have seen the ship been abandoned. The last man jumps overboard, the ship's abandoned, goes down into the water. and all is perished. And the Savior was abandoned by his father. And then, of course, we talk to him about that cry of lamentation where he cried for, and they gave him the vinegar. He cried, "I thirst," and they gave him the vinegar. He was thirsting, yes, in body. His mouth was dry. His throat was parched. But he was thirsting for the precious word of God. It was prophesied that they would give him vinegar. Up to that point, they hadn't given him the vinegar. And then, of course, there was that great cry of jubilation, the sixth cry. It is finished. And men and women tonight, converted by the grace of God, we are resting on a finished work. There's nothing more to be added to it. It is finished. And now we come tonight to the cry of confirmation. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And for a few moments, we want to consider this text together. Now, in this text, we see four things. First of all, we see the trustfulness of the Lord Jesus. And then together, we're going to see the uniqueness of our lovely Savior. And then we're going to consider together the greatness of the Lord Jesus. And then, bringing our meeting to a conclusion, we're going to consider the graciousness of the lovely Son of God. May the Lord help us tonight as we look at these things. So the last cry, the seventh cry from the cross, reveals to us the trustfulness of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is about to step into death. He has finished the work. He accomplished all that he left the portals of glory to do. He had fulfilled the Father's will. He purchased redemption for his people. Now he has finished the work and he's stepping into death. And he says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." So there you'll notice is the trustfulness of the Lord Jesus. It is a cry of faith. The Lord is dying, and he's dying in faith. I want to get that across to the meeting tonight. Now notice this word here that we have emphasized. He says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." The word commend and commit are interesting words. You'll find the Apostle Paul used that word as he was speaking to young Timothy, the minister. He tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You see, this word, commend or commit, means that you're placing someone or something into the care of one who can sustain, who can hold you up, someone that you trust. In other words, let me put it this way to you. We are on the journey of life. And those of us tonight who have our faith and trust in Jesus Christ have committed our way to the Lord. We have committed the eternal welfare of our never-dying souls into the hands of our loving Father. Just as Jesus took that, made that cry, it was a cry of faith. And when you and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, for us it was a cry of faith. We have committed the eternal well-being of our never-dying souls into the hand of the Lord Jesus. Now notice there's the Lord Jesus, and he's dying in faith. Death will come to you. Death will come to me. Sooner than we might realize, we'll go into the cold, chilly waters of death. It is appointed unto man once to die. One day the death angel will come to me, and I will be taken away. My dear friends, I will step out in faith, knowing that Jesus will bring me to the place that he has prepared for me. I wonder tonight in the meeting, I wonder those who are listening on sermon audio, would there be one listening tonight? Would there be one in the meeting tonight? And for you, it would not be a cry of faith. You as yet have not trusted the Lord Jesus. Oh, my dear friends, let me get it across to the meeting. This is the way to die. There's no other way to die. This is how we ought to die. The Christian is one who dies right. He dies in faith. The Savior is stepping into death. And you notice he has this great cry. "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And we see, first of all, that it is a cry of faith. Then I want you to notice, first, Secondly, it's a cry without fear. There's no fear at all. Jesus is dying, and he's not afraid. Oh, I wonder how that is. That how it will be with you when you come to die? You'll die in faith. You'll die without fear. I have sat at many a bedside. I have seen men die. I've seen women die. I've seen children die. And what a blessing it is to be at the bedside of a Christian, and they have no fear at all. They say, Jesus is with me, and he will take me to the Father's house up above. And this cry, we see also that it was a cry in fellowship. He's in fellowship with God. Oh, there was that moment for 3 hours when your sin and my sin was dealt judicially, dealt eternally, dealt efficiently, when God Almighty crushed and bruised his only Son, when he made the soul of the Lord Jesus an offering for sin. And my dear friends, the fellowship was broken. But you notice here that he's back in fellowship. He has finished the work, and he's dying in fellowship. My dear friends, notice it. He's dying without fear, and he's dying in fellowship. Christ died in fellowship. My dear friends, Jesus wants his people to die right. You know what he's saying to us tonight? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his sins. Now, last week, we were thinking, last Lord's Day in this house, there was that dear sister who has gone home, our sister Mrs. McAnally, and we think of her husband, we think of those that mourn her passing, and this congregation moves her passing. But I tell you, her sister is absent from the body and present with the Lord. She, like the Savior, died without fear. She died in faith, and she died in fellowship with the Lord. That's the way to die. But my dear friends, let me tell you also that this was a cry of fact. The Lord Jesus really died. He died. My dear friends, his soul moved out of the body into the hands of his loving Father. And that's what happens when a Christian dies. The soul moves out. I believe the soul comes into being at the point of conception. The body will die. One day your body and mine will be lowered into Mother Earth. The soul will move out of the body. Tell me where. Will it move to heaven or to that awful place where the Lord has forgotten to be gracious? My dear friends, death is a fact. A man is tripart, body, soul, and spirit. When a person dies, the spirit moves out of the body. For the Christian, it moves out of the body to enter into heaven. For the unsaved, the spirit moves out of the body into the hands of an angry God. Oh, I say to you tonight, make sure you die right, that you know how that it is well with your soul. Oh, there is appointment made for you and made for me. It is appointed unto man once to die. Tell me, where will your soul be 5 minutes after you die? Oh, for God's people, for those who are saved by grace, who have a saving faith in Christ, heaven is their home. You and I are on the journey of life, and soon the journey will come to an end. We read in the Bible where a man said, there's just a step, a short step, a sure step between me and death. Tell me, how will it be when you go down into the cold, chilly waters of death? Will you die like our Savior? Will you be able to say, I know the Lord, he's my Savior, I have faith in him, and when death comes for you, you'll go to be with the Lord? Now, this cry reveals to us something of our Savior's trustfulness. He's dying, and he's trusting his Father. That's how we want to die, trusting our Father, our faith and trust in Jesus. But I want you to notice also that the Lord Jesus here, we see his trustfulness, but we see this cry reveals his uniqueness. And it's important that we understand and grasp this. We read, and I've quoted the verse already, but let me give you the reference. It's found in the Epistle to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9. And notice what it says in verse 27. Hebrews 9, verse 27, it says, It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Now, I want to get this to you. I want you to see the order here. When a man dies, he dies first, and then the judgment. But that was not so with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is so unique. Notice here the altar, the order is changed. He dies, and then the judgment. Man dies, and then the judgment. Now, let me very quickly say about two judgments, because as a young Christian, I would have had them confused. There is the judgment seat of Christ. That's the place where the child of God will go. That's the place where your work will be viewed. That's the place where your labor will be reviewed. Your service for the Lord. And the all-important thing is that the stamp of fidelity is upon you. That the stamp of faithfulness is upon you. And the Lord will reward us. And hallelujah, He will reward us. He'll review our work. He'll reward our work. And He'll say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." But then there's the great judgment. The great white throne judgment. No Christian will ever stand there, but the ungodly will stand there when the books will be open. Oh, what a day it will be when men get their new body and the spirit comes and soul comes back into the body. But oh, to stand before the judge of all the earth, the immensity of that judgment. We think of the one that sits in that throne, the one tonight who is the Savior, the one tonight who can save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. But on that day, He'll be the judge of all the earth. And men and women will hear those awful words, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not." But for the Lord Jesus, you'll notice the judgment was first and then death. You see, from 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock, all the wrath of Almighty God against the sins of men and women was poured out upon Christ. The Lord Jesus drank the cup of damnation dry. There's no punishment for the child of God. My dear friends, the Savior here stepped into death. But before He stepped into death, He received the judgment, the righteous judgment, which was mine, which was yours. He bore the wrath of Almighty God upon Him. And then, having finished the work that the Lord gave Him to do, He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Do you see the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus? This cry reveals to us the trustfulness of our Savior. He's dying, He's stepping into death, and He's trusting His Father. Notice there the uniqueness of His death. He has received the judgment. He bore the punishment that was rightly yours and rightly mine. And then He stepped into death. So there was the judgment first, and then there was death. You see the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was doing something that no man could do. He was dismissing His spirit. He had power to lay down His life, and He had power to take it again. So it's here that we notice that this cry reveals the greatness of the Savior. No man can dismiss His spirit, but the Lord Jesus did. He had power to lay down His life. He had power to take it again. I tell you, the Lord Jesus, He's the altogether lovely one. He's the fairest of 10,000. He endured the cross for you and for me. And having endured all the punishment and all the wrath of Almighty God, He finished the work that the Father gave Him to do. He gave up the ghost. He dismissed His spirit. And we learn that this wonderful Savior, we learn there in this cry and removing so quickly, we see there something of the trustfulness of the Lord Jesus. We see something of the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus. And we learn something of the greatness of the Lord Jesus. But now in closing, listen to this. I want you to note with me the graciousness of the Lord Jesus. Oh, isn't He so gracious? You turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Let me read these words to you. Hebrews 2 verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings of death. Oh, we see the Lord Jesus taking the path to the cross. What a path that was. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. We see the Lord Jesus enduring the pain of the cross. They brought him to Calvary, and there they crucified him. That agonizing death of crucifixion. And we see the Lord Jesus receiving the power of the cross. And there he received grace. It was grace that caused him to remain on the cross. He could have stepped down at any time. He could have dismissed the crowd and he could have removed himself from the cross. But if he had, you and I would have been lost and lost forever. We see the Lord Jesus, that it was grace that caused him to step into death. What's the purpose of it all? Well, if your Bible's still open at Hebrews chapter 2, notice what it says in verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Here's the purpose of the Lord Jesus suffering on the cross. There's the purpose of him dying on the cross, to bring men and women to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Oh, notice that in verse 9 there, he's King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords, he is the Prince of Glory. My dear friends, the one who came from glory, suffered at the hands of men, died in your place and mine. And the order was it to bring us to glory. Wasn't it the Apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He could have come as the great physician, the great healer. He could have come as the great philosopher. He could have come as the great teacher. And he did all those things. But he came to save. He has come to seek and to save. Let me ask you tonight, oh, without the slightest embarrassment on my part, am I looking at men and women who are saved by the grace of God? Am I looking at men and women who'll be present when the roll is called up yonder? Is there one with us tonight? Is there one listening to sermon audio tonight? And you're not saved, you're still on the broad road. And if you were to die right now, you'd be lost, lost forever. Oh, praise God tonight. We're still in the day of grace. We can be saved. The Lord Jesus died that you and I might never die eternally. Yes, there'll be physical death. The only thing will keep you and I out of the grave is the personal, visible return of our lovely Savior. And praise God tonight, a man can be saved, a woman can be saved, and they can read their title clear to the mansion in the sky. We read the verse a moment ago where the Apostle Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, it's my earnest prayer that your faith and trust will be in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a young man. He's just taken up his ministry last week in our church in Gardenstown. Young man from Banbridge. I'm looking after the congregation there at the moment since Mr. Whiteside retired. This young man had been educated at university in England. He was coming up past the church one Sunday night. And something came over him, he didn't know why. He went into the church to see what was happening. Curiosity. He wanted to know what went on in there. And he went in, and God spoke to him, and God strove with him, and he got wonderfully converted. And God called him to be a preacher of the gospel. He was trained in our college. And tonight, he has been ordained and installed as the minister of Gardenstown Free Presbyterian Church. It's all of the grace of God. That man's preaching the gospel. He went into the meeting a sinner. He came out a saint. He went in unconverted. He came out gloriously, wonderfully saved. That can happen tonight to one in the meeting who knows not the Lord Jesus. Will you turn from your sin? Will you accept Christ? The one who died in your place and died in mine. The one who was so gracious. The one that is so gracious tonight He stands with nailed scarred hands and he says, come. Oh, I love the invitation, the gospel invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you come? Will you accept him? How terrible. Oh, listen. How awful to reject the eternal Son of God, the one who suffered on the cross for us, the one who tasted death, went in, was laid in the tomb and was there until the first day of the week when he rose triumphant. He now lives in the power of an endless life, and he lives there and he lives to make intercession for us. But one day the trumpet will sound and Jesus will come, and those who are ready will go up to meet him. Tell me, is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Do you love him tonight? Do you serve him? If you're not a Christian, would you speak to me on your way out or speak to one of the elders? We're your servant for Christ's sake. Whatever you do on the journey of life, make sure that you're ready for death. Make sure that your faith is in Christ and you're in fellowship with him. Thank you for coming, and God bless you. Let's bow for prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for our meeting. We thank you, Lord, for men and women who are gathered here, and others, Lord, who would be listening to sermon audio. We pray, our God, you would bless them. And we ask thee, Lord, tonight, that precious souls will be saved. And we ask thee, Lord, that there'll be those who have that desire of the Greeks of old when they said to Philip, sir, we would see Jesus. May we see him tonight as our Savior. We pray, our Father, that none from this gathering will ever meet the Lord Jesus as their judge, but they'll meet him as their Lord and as their Savior. Take of what has been of thyself and bless it savingly and abidingly to each of our hearts. To the glory of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen.